D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
They are being touted as the new Jim Crow laws in America. But is that really the case? Find out on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program. I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Just a year or two ago, the idea that a biological man should not be allowed into female public shower and bathroom facilities was obvious. Yet today, laws preventing such potentially dangerous scenarios are characterized as being akin to the old Jim Crow laws in the South, the ones that barred African Americans from using white facilities. This all has to do with the acceptance of transgenderism as a new civil rights struggle. But is that an accurate way to look at this? What about the rights of parents to protect their children from the 750,000 registered sex offenders in America? And what about the rights of Christians who oppose this new agenda based upon conscience? Later in this program, you will see how the Obama administration has classified those holding Christian convictions as being like the segregationists of the Old South. As we begin, John Stemberger of the Florida Family Policy Council has been a stalwart defender of Christian freedoms and principles and is involved in Florida's battle over so-called bathroom bills. He joins us on today's program. John, welcome. We're delighted to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
It's a pleasure. Let's talk about the level of rhetoric a little bit. Christians believe they're standing for truth, they're standing for scripture, they're standing on conscience, and yet their critics are arguing that basically they're just attacking a movement that they disagree with. Is that a fair characterization in your view?
Yeah, I think it is. The problem is that these laws are attempting to elevate sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression to the same platform as the immutable characteristics of race, of ethnicity, of age, objective characteristics, okay, and constitutional rights that are legitimate non-discrimination laws. But when you elevate a new protected class to sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, you create a lot of problems. And the two big issues are, number one, rights of conscience issues to Christians in the workplace and in public life that simply don't want to participate in same-sex wedding ceremonies. And then secondly, you have the safety and security and the privacy issue of women in these intimate spaces. So these new laws, these sexual orientation gender identity laws, which are called a variety of things around the country, are being enacted at a city level, county level, state level, and even in Congress. There is the ENDA, the Non-Deployment Discrimination Act, and also the Equality Act is the new act now that they have. Frank, do you realize there's a significant percentage of our population of women that have been abused at the hands of men, sexually and otherwise, in intimate spaces in close quarters? Those women can actually feel almost like post-traumatic stress and actually undergo really serious kind of flashbacks when they're in close quarters in a bathroom with a person that obviously is a man, even though they're dressed as a woman. What about the rights and the sensitivity of those women? Where this issue is really the most egregious is it's in the schools with children. To me, that's nothing short of child abuse. If a boy went into a girl's locker room or anywhere on campus of a school and showed a girl pornography, that would be grounds for immediately dismissal for sexual harassment. Yet we're going to allow a boy, a fully biological boy, to undress in a girl's bathroom and shower with them, and that's somehow this civil right. The equation is just simply turned absurd. It's really a sad time, but a time where we need to rise up and oppose this bad public policy.
You know, before President Obama changed his mind about gay marriage, and before Hillary Clinton changed her mind about gay marriage, which was just 3 or 4 short years ago, the polls in the country were absolutely clear on where people stood on these issues. There was division, but since then, and with the emergence of this transgender issue, the media talks about this as though it were a fait accompli, that everyone should be on board with this simply because President Obama has decided what's in Title IX in terms of applying the law as it relates to sexual orientation. Is it a fait accompli? What should we be doing about this at this point?
So what we have is that it used to be just a couple of decades ago that every institution of society, at least in Western civilization and America, without exception, orbited in God's design for marriage, family, and gender. They had, even if they weren't a believer, they still orbited in the same concept of what a man is, what a woman is, what marriage was.
Right.
Now we have, Frank, every institution of society, and I mean every, without exception. We used to have the Boy Scouts and the military, even that's not. They're moving at light speed away from God's design, from what nature tells us is plain, from biology, common sense, the collective wisdom of human history. All these things are being abandoned now at light speed. And so the church is the only remaining institution that really sees human sexuality and gender the way God has intended it, and really the way nature has functioned. So it's incumbent upon the church to take a stand on this. And we have to be bold, we have to be humble, but we have to be clear.
John, thanks for your great work. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks. Well, we live in a world in which the President of the United States believes he can order schools to begin opening their locker rooms to students of the opposite sex, and one in which living according to biblical convictions on marriage can get you fined or prosecuted. And as you will see later in this program, we also live in a world where the U.S. Attorney General believes she can declare historic Christian teaching to be morally equivalent to segregation. At times like these, it's easy to feel as if we're all alone, holding to some alien set of beliefs. But perhaps we shouldn't be too surprised by all of this. As Dr. D. James Kennedy points out, there are two very different ways of looking at the world.
In H.G. Wells' famous story, The Valley of the Blind, he tells a fascinating tale about a race of people who lived in a large valley which was surrounded by exceeding high mountains, cut off from the rest of the world. They had lived there for millennia. But centuries ago, a great plague had descended upon them, resulting in complete blindness among every one of the inhabitants, even such that passed on to their descendants. And so for generation after generation, century after century, they had lived in darkness, until finally, at length, their eyeballs had completely atrophied. Not only was sight gone, it was totally forgotten. And then in the passage of time, an intrepid explorer makes his way over one of the high passes of the mountains, and they are astounded to hear him babble about imaginary things. He talks about his eyes, his vision, sight. They have never heard of such things. The man is obviously out of his mind. He is delusional. But when they examine his face with their fingers, they discover two large protuberances on either side of his nose, and these he calls that strange thing eyes. Well, it is obvious to any intelligent man that this is the cause of the problem. These tumors protruding from his face obviously are affecting his brain. But they have a solution. They will sharpen their knives and operate and remove the offending organs and thus restore him to his right mind. And then things got very testy in the book. He agreed to the surgery. And we moved closer to the day of the operation. And I know I felt I wanted to cry out and say, no, don't do it. You're not crazy. It's not your problem, it's theirs. But he decided to go out and finally got right down to the day, the hour of the operation. Suddenly he came to his senses, leaped up, and ran out and climbed the mountain and got away. Well, as fanciful as that story is, it bears quite a resemblance to the world in which we live. You see, we, because of sin, the whole human race tumbled, as it were, into a valley of the blind. We fell from the high estate that we had been given into a fallen estate, which is called the natural man or woman. And what is the problem? We have lost our spiritual sight. We have eyes and see not. We have lost our spiritual hearing. Billy Graham calls on people to listen with the ears of their spirit. But we have lost that. We see not and we hear not. Furthermore, a veil is over our minds so that it is darkened, and our heart has been replaced with a heart of stone. And we are at enmity with God. We are dead in trespasses and sins. You hath he quickened, Zoe Poyon, which were dead, the Bible says. Of course, the tragic thing is, we never realize it. And those that are still in such a state don't know it. The Bible says that the natural man, the unregenerate man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Isn't it interesting that the natural man today looks upon those who have spiritual sight in the very same way that the inhabitants of that valley looked upon this stranger? There is a problem. It's not theirs. It's his. It's yours. And you can see that though they don't want to operate on you with scalpels, since this is a spiritual matter, they will operate on you with their pens or their tongues. They will mock you and ridicule you. And they show their natural animosity to God. Well, our friend in the story ran and fled. They wanted to take away his sight and make him blind. And that's still what unbelievers want to do. And they work diligently on all of your children and grandchildren in school to accomplish that purpose. We want to take away their blindness and give them sight. What a difference. And that is the wonderful task that God has given us, which is accomplished through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
As Dr. Kennedy explained, we who have spiritual sight can expect to be mocked and ridiculed by those who don't. But we are called to proclaim God's truth to the world nevertheless, and His word does not return to Him void. In a few minutes, we'll tell you what you can do to make a difference when it comes to the transparent nonsense of opening public bathrooms and locker rooms to people of any sex simply based on their subjective feelings. But first, you need to see how complicit the Obama administration has been in this agenda. Because of your biblical beliefs, the Attorney General of the United States falsely and provocatively lumps you together with slaveholders and segregationists. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb brings us more.
I'm going to sing a little song. My name's Jim Crow.
Who or exactly what was Jim Crow? Initially, it was a character created in 1832 by Thomas D. Rice in blackface for his minstrel show.
The offensive portrayal of Jim Crow was no laughing matter. Eventually, the name came to represent the entire system of apartheid-like laws after the Civil War to keep blacks separate and decidedly not equal. They couldn't vote. They couldn't get good jobs. They were systematically treated as second-class citizens. In some cases, they even faced violence or death.
And in the old days, when the NAACP was founded, its total mission was to bring a sense of racial reconciliation, starting in a time where blacks were literally being lynched. I feel very much that the civil rights movement was hijacked, continues to be hijacked by the LGBT community.
There's a distortion from the left about the civil rights era and Dr. King's plan and Dr. King's message. There was not one eternal truth that Dr. King tried to overturn. He was a preacher. Dr. King used the scriptures on his behalf to make his case. And yet what we're seeing with this whole Transform in America agenda is the opposite. We're seeing truth turned on its head.
And so, when North Carolina passed a law in the spring of 2016 to ensure that men go to the men's room and women to the women's room, the Obama administration sued them on behalf of transgender people who represent perhaps 0.3% of the total population.
This is not the first time that we have seen discriminatory responses to historic moments of progress for our nation. We saw it in the Jim Crow laws.
The civil rights struggle was based on gross injustices. We came out of a civil war, Jim Crow, grinding oppression based on skin color, which is absolutely irrelevant when it comes to a person's character. Bathrooms are based on biological realities that are relevant. So we don't see urinals in women's bathrooms.
It's not a good practice for a man to use a lady's bathroom and vice versa. So to demagogue the issue, to try and to make a emotional, nonsensical connection to a very ugly part of our past is horrible. North Carolina is ranked as the second best state in the United States of America for African Americans when it comes to employment and business.
It was not so very long ago that states, including North Carolina, had other signs above restrooms, water fountains, and on public accommodations, keeping people out based on a distinction without a difference.
She was referring to black only and white only signs above bathrooms, which is an amazingly shameful comment. She's being very intellectually dishonest with all the people viewing there, because the color of a person's skin, the pigment of their skin, has nothing at all to do with what bathroom somebody uses. We got rid of Jim Crow laws. They were nefarious in their very creation, and so we got rid of them. But you know what we didn't get rid of at the same time? We didn't get rid of signs on bathrooms that said male and female. Why? Because a person's biological sex has everything to do with what bathroom they go into.
Race has nothing to do with what goes on in the bathroom, okay? Doesn't matter what color you are, has nothing to do with how you use the bathroom. Anatomy does. Biology does.
Critics of the Obama administration's policy to try and force open bathrooms in schools and institutions across the country note that this is all based on feelings of identity, not facts of anatomy.
Transgenderism is a relatively new ideology that says that a person's sex is not based on their biology, that what is put on their birth certificate is something effectively arbitrary, and it's something that could be changed. So someone could identify as a sex that does not correspond to their actual physical biology. So it's entirely subjective as a concept.
When God made male and female, he made us a reflection of himself. When you say that that's inaccurate, there is no such thing as male and there's no such thing as female, what you're really saying is there's no such thing as God. There is a distinction between the creator and the created, and he reflected that in male and female. And this battle is a whole lot bigger than whether a young woman goes in the bathroom and there's a grown man standing in there who has gotten himself confused in his gender identity to where he actually thinks he's a woman too.
The end game of the LGBT movement is unclear, but we've seen the trajectory. We've seen it move from marriage redefinition to redefinition to what it means to be a man and a woman. This may be the logical conclusion of that movement, which essentially says everything is absolutely subjective. You are whatever you want to be, whenever you want to be, but not only that, everyone else must affirm your chosen identity. And if not, government will come after you. Big business will come after you. You will be shamed. You will be excluded. And you will be discriminated against, pushed out of the public square. That is not a vision of tolerance. That is a vision of intolerance. But unfortunately, that's what we've seen from the left. But there is hope in pushing it back if people get activated, people become aware, and know that this is what is happening in America today.
The forces of so-called tolerance are working night and day to marginalize Christians, and for that matter, anyone else who holds biblical, traditional, and even common sense beliefs on issues of sexual identity. And now they're doing so with the increasing weight of the federal government behind them. It's time to put a stop to this. Here's my dear friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy to tell us what we can do. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. The forces of political correctness are attempting to steamroll you into compliance. With the Obama administration behind them, they assert that allowing boys into your daughter's or granddaughter's school bathroom or locker room is a matter of basic civil rights. It's not. We all know that it's complete nonsense, and yet the pressure to go along is strong, lest you be called a bigot or a segregationist. Well, it's time for us to make our voices heard. The media has vastly exaggerated the power and impact of the transgender movement, and Christians must lead the charge to say enough. Please stand with us by going to our website right now, djkm.org, and signing the petition calling upon the governor of your state to protect the privacy of children and women using school and public restrooms and showers and locker rooms. This should be obvious, but so many of our leaders are folding under the pressure. They'll only stand firm if they hear from you and me. So let's have them hear from us loud and clear. Visit our website and sign the petition to your governor at djkm.org. And I also want to ask you to stand with us by helping us get this important information out. Where else are you seeing this addressed from a Christian perspective on television? We need you to help us produce and air an important TV special on gender confusion to air later this month. This vital program is called The Age of Gender Confusion. And as our thanks for your support, we'll send you a DVD copy of this important program as soon as it's completed later this month. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, P.O. Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677 or go online to djkm.org. This program is set to air as America's children are heading back to school, where they're being placed in physical danger by political correctness. You'll want to have a copy of this crucial program, The Age of Gender Confusion, to watch and to share with anyone you know who has children in the public schools. And you'll want to help us broadcast this powerful, biblical countervoice to the runaway LGBT movement. Please give a generous donation today to help us stand against the tide and get the life-saving truth out on these gender issues, which are turning our world upside down. And we'll send you a DVD copy of the special program, The Age of Gender Confusion, as soon as it's completed, as our thanks. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, P.O. Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
It's time for some simple common sense on gender. First, gender as applied to personal identity is a concept that was fabricated in the 1970s. Before that, male and female were understood by even the most benighted soul as being biological and sexual realities. But treating the human sexual condition as an identity to be chosen or discarded and being totally divorced from biology has become the first principle of a movement marked by deep confusion and dysphoria. Yet, male and female are not some sort of arbitrary social construct imposed upon us by a patriarchal society, as the so-called gender theorists claim. Our sexual nature is an essential and unchangeable part of being created in the image of God. Even in a sin-sick world, we know this intuitively. You know, in the early days of television, Milton Berle made the whole nation laugh by putting on a dress and pretending to be a woman. The laughter was driven by the very absurdity of the idea. In the 1980s, Dustin Hoffman mined even more laughs and was nominated for an Oscar by comedically portraying a man posing as a woman to get acting work. In the 1990s, it was Robin Williams dressing up as the nanny Mrs. Doubtfire in order to spend more time with his kids. Adopting the dress and habits of the opposite sex has been fertile ground for comedy forever because it's intrinsically silly. Yet the Attorney General of the United States now treats it as if it were a sacred civil right, while at the same time dismissing the First Amendment freedoms of Christians who are bound by Scripture and conscience to obey the truth. Now, let me say that none of this is meant to be insensitive or dismissive of those caught up in this deep personal confusion. We must not overlook their extraordinary suffering and pain. One study reveals that 41% of those who call themselves transgender have attempted suicide at some point. Ours must always be an attitude of great compassion and mercy. Above all else, these people need help and they need hope. But at the same time, we dare not deny the truth. The worst thing we can do for an illness is to legitimize it as a valid lifestyle choice. And the most spiritually dangerous thing we can do with sin is to pretend that it can lead to a good end, or to label it as being courageous and somehow virtuous. Christ came to free us from our sins and to set the world right. But that freedom comes through repentance and through dying to oneself, not through embracing our pathologies as if they were some form of courageous self-expression. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us this week on Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Here I am, the Lord's using me to bring the word out and try to help other people prevent them from suicide or an unnecessary gender reassignment surgery.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.